Don't be afraid to fail. Failures can be the best life lessons if you learn from them.
Hello, and welcome to Letters from the Lunchroom, a podcast by Communities and Schools of Mid-America. I'm your host, Victoria Partridge. Communities and Schools is a nationwide nonprofit which connects students and their families to local resources in order to remove barriers so that they will have greater success in school and in life. During this podcast, we talk to people who have a relationship with our organization. From students to staff members and alumni to volunteers, we know that people who connect with nonprofits have a story that led them there, and we want to know that story. Today, we are talking with LaShawn Taylor. LaShawn works for Communities and Schools of Mid-America as the area director in Southeast Kansas. Every year, he hosts a major fundraising event, a large-scale golf tournament. I wanted to bring him into the lunchroom to find out why he created this fundraiser in the first place and how he has grown it to the massive event that it is today. During our conversation, he also shares why he joined the CIS team and the people in his life who shaped him into the person that he is today. Please stay tuned as we head into the lunchroom. Hi, and welcome to the lunchroom, LaShawn. How are you doing today?
I'm doing great. Thanks for having me. This is my first time, like I told you, on a podcast, so I'm kind of interested to see how this turns out.
Yeah, I'm actually really interested to see how this turns out, too, because a lot of people that I've talked to on the podcast, I would say the majority of our guests are people that I don't really know that well, but I actually know you quite well. You and I have worked together for quite a few years.
Yes.
And we are friends as well as coworkers. And so I'm super excited because some of the things that we're going to talk about today are things that I don't know about you because they're about your life prior to joining Communities and Schools.
Okay.
So I'm excited to get into that.
Awesome.
And with that, yeah. So just jumping into it, what first did get you started with Communities and Schools? Because I know you started as a site coordinator, right?
Yes, a funny story. Well, I guess it's not funny, but it's just, I don't know if you'd call it bait. I was actually applying for another job that, you know, we came into Southeast Kansas together with, the JAG position. When we initially came into the schools in Southeast Kansas, JAG and Communities and Schools kind of came in together. So I was actually interviewing for the JAG position, and our former HR director, Donnie Gearhart, when she called me to tell me I didn't get the job for JAG, she said I'd be perfect for a position with Communities and Schools. I had no idea what Communities and Schools was. I had never heard of it. But she explained kind of what the job was, and it was a perfect fit for what I was looking for at that time.
So wait a minute. So was Donnie at the time the HR person for Communities and Schools?
Yes.
So how did she get your info for the JAG position?
She was, because when we came in, we were at, I don't know what the collaboration agreement was between JAG and Communities and Schools. But we came in as a dual entity. We came in together. Like we were, our logos were merged. I mean, like,
really?
Yeah. So it was shortly after we started, you know, our work that, you know, JAG kind of broke off and got their own 501c3. I believe, to my understanding, they were under our 501c3 for a very brief period of time. And then they kind of broke off and did their own 501c3. So then we were just Communities and Schools of Kansas at that time.
Mm-hmm. Because that was before we had really expanded to become the multi-state network that we are now and became Mid-America.
Correct.
So what school were you hired at?
Parsons High School.
Parsons High School. And you were a site coordinator there. And you were the first site coordinator and the one that established the program, correct?
Correct.
And how many years did you work there?
Just a year, just a little over a year. I completed my first year as a site coordinator, and about halfway through, well, we expanded after 1 year. So we were in two schools in 2013. Then we expanded to seven schools in Southeast Kansas, which created a, at the time, an affiliate director's position. And I didn't apply for it. Somebody else did, and they got it. And I think they ended up turning it down after they accepted it. So they opened it back up. And one of my coworkers had encouraged me to apply. And I applied and did the interview process and got it. So I actually was doing dual roles a little bit in 2014. I think it was November-ish. I was actually doing site. I was doing site work, and I was trying to learn how to be an affiliate director, and
which was a brand new position as well.
Which was a brand new position, yes.
Mm-hmm. Because that's the time. That's whenever you and I first met. Because that's whenever I got hired on as well. Because during that expansion, there were seven sites also created in Central Kansas, which created the need. It went from one site to seven sites, so very similar to Southeast Kansas. And so that created the need for an affiliate director, which is where I got brought on. And so I started working for communities and schools in September of 2014. And then I remember you and I, we first met at a board meeting,
Yes. Like
right at the very beginning, yep, whenever there was this huge expansion, because that same expansion that we're talking about is also the one that created the multi-state network.
Exactly.
Because I've never worked for CIS whenever it was CIS of Kansas. I've only worked for us as CIS of America. So that's cool, though. I didn't know that you worked for us back whenever it was CIS of Kansas. And you've really seen a lot of the evolution that has brought this organization to where it is now, which is amazing.
I have. And, you know, to go back to being a site coordinator, I mean, one of the things that intrigued me about the work, the mission, the model, was being able to work with you know, at-risk youth. I mean, students that are struggling with not necessarily academic barriers, but those outside things that prevent, you know, kids from coming to school. You know, I myself, I think you've heard me maybe tell the story several times. I mean, I would have been considered one of those kids that was at risk of failing if I didn't have, you know, that one caring adult in my life. And so I correlated the two, me having, you know, someone that I valued their opinions and which guided, you know, a lot of my decisions in life. You know, as I grew and learned, I correlated that to the CIS model. And so that's why I'm so passionate about the possibilities and the impacts that a site coordinator can really make in a student's life. And, you know, if you get the right site coordinator that, you know, that is that caring person that's going to do whatever it takes to find whatever resource and be that supportive entity in a child's life, we can really change, you know, mindsets just through our relationship building. So that's one of the things that intrigued me about, you know, working for communities and schools. And you know, I advocate my current position now, you know, with businesses and development of partnerships in the four communities that I serve. So, yeah, I enjoy it. I love it. I love it. Absolutely love it.
Oh, yeah. And that's super clear. I think that's probably one of the things that just really kind of bursts out of you whenever, you know, I talk to you or whenever I've like interacted with you in person, is that you're extremely passionate about the work that we do. And I'm curious, though, because, you know, we've kind of gone back like a little bit into your past. Mm-hmm. We talked about your work as a site coordinator and about you starting up the affiliate, now called Areas, of course, and how you had applied initially for a JAG position. But what were you doing before then? You know, what is it in your life that's kind of pointed you in the direction of working for an organization and committing your life to an organization that helps at-risk kiddos?
Well, I mean, it's my life is full of hills, valleys, dips and curves, as one of my former coaches used to say. And at the time I applied for that JAG position, I'll go back two jobs. So I was working as a mental health caseworker for Labette Mental Health here in Parsons, and a coaching opportunity came up for me. So moving on from that, I ended up moving, taking the coaching position without a job, and on faith, I guess. And then a job came open at Class LTD, so I became a case manager for Class LTD, serving the mentally challenged, mentally disabled. And from there, I worked there about three years, I think. And then the JAG position came open, and I applied. And like I said, applied, didn't get it, and got hired on at communities and schools. So it all kind of fell into place. It really did. I mean, the job I was working previously wasn't, it was an opportunity for me to earn and provide for my family, but it really wasn't a passion for me at the time.
Well, and that makes such a huge difference. And I think that's actually one of the key things about the people that I know, at least, who work for this agency, is that because it's different. You know, you and I have both worked for other nonprofits, and there's something different about working for communities and schools. And I'm not just saying this because I happen to work for communities and schools, but it's true, is that the people that work with us are so incredibly passionate about the work that they do. And I think that translates into a lot of things, not only into the quality of work that is put out by those people. You think about the site coordinators and all the wonderful things they're doing and the impacts that they're making, but also in their job satisfaction. And I think that's really, really important.
It is. And so I'd like to share that passion with others and in the communities. That, like I said, the businesses, the partnerships that we've developed, giving them an opportunity to advocate for us. I love going into the communities. And funny story, I was in Chanute doing the Future Now Finance with Sarah Stockerbrand at high school. And I try to go around and thank, the volunteers at my high school events, those high school events. And one lady, I can't recall her name, but I asked the two that were at the table. So I always start off, what do you know about communities and schools? So one lady says, I volunteered last year. I know all about it. I love the program. And then the other lady did not. So I go into my elevator speech, as we call it. And I was interrupted about, just a few sentences in. And the lady next to her, basically, she advocated, I mean, almost verbatim what I was about to continue to say. So that's how I know the message of our work is getting out there. But it's taken some time. I mean, we've been in Southeast Kansas for a little over 5 years now. But it takes that time to, become ingrained in the culture of the school and the community. And once the community embraces what we do and understands what we do, they're more apt to support us in whatever ways we need.
Well, and it's so funny that you say that, because I was in a meeting yesterday and your name got brought up because it was a work meeting. And we were all talking about how it doesn't matter where you go in Southeast Kansas, if you happen to be wearing communities and schools merchandise, or you have like the logo or the lapel pin on you, and somebody in the community sees you, they're going to be like, oh my gosh, do you know LaShawn? Because you have made yourself so well known, but in connection to communities and schools. And I know that that's been really successful for you, because we have seen there was the expansion, that created that area in the first place, but then it's even expanded more, because now in Southeast Kansas is the only, we're in Anadarko as well. And I'll follow up on that thought in just a moment, but Pittsburgh is fully saturated, which was the first community for us to become fully saturated in. And by that, I mean that we are in every single school. So there's a Communities and Schools program at every single school, which means all of those students who are needing some extra assistance in Pittsburgh, Kansas, have a Communities and Schools site coordinator they can go to, and they can continue to have that support from going on from grade school to middle school all the way through high school. And that was established, when did it become fully saturated? Was it 3 years ago?
Just last year, actually.
2 years ago. Okay. Was the first year. Yeah. Which is so huge. And now we're in Anadarko, Oklahoma, which is also fully saturated, but is still in the process of getting started up because that program will be fully established in August. But it's just so cool. I love when that happens. And I think that that's huge because it wouldn't have been attainable there in Pittsburgh without all of the work that you've done and all the contacts that you've made, and for you to have the willingness to go and share your passion. So,
well, I tell you, the work isn't done because, you know, there are other communities that we've been in for several years that have voiced a desire and interest in saturating their communities. Chanute, USD 413, for instance. Mm-hmm. I won't say desperately, but they really want and desire us to put a middle school site coordinator. So that's one of our challenges. And actually, I was up at 5:30 this morning. I was writing my letters from the lunchroom speech, and you know, trying to strategize on how can I approach meeting that need for that community, because it, you know, it's been a really supportive community, not only monetarily, but you know, the support from the community, the in-kind donations, the sweat equity of volunteering time, you know, of, you know, helping keep our food pantry stocked, or we collaborate with, you know, food drives, or we do shoe drives, and Sarah does an unplugged event that brings in volunteers. The community is absolutely bought in. And so I was up strategizing, trying to think, how can I approach that community to try to help close that gap? So, I mean, that is, there's going to be further discussion, you know, as we move forward, but, we're new in Fort Scott. We've been there, this is our first year, and they've already expressed an interest, in the middle school, and they've already, I'm meeting with actually their superintendent tomorrow afternoon to discuss you know, that possibility and what that looks like and what it would take for that to happen. So yeah, I would love, but you know, for whatever reason, you know, middle schools aren't a section in education that's not being funded. I know we're getting a lot of funding for our high school and a lot for our elementary, but they're missing a component, I believe.
I
see it. The districts see it. Mm-hmm. And I think that's the most influential opportunity, mm-hmm, to mold and shape a young person's mind and direction. Because that's the time when, you know, boys are starting to smell themselves and hormones are kicking and, you know, their body, you know, girls' body, you know, by everybody's body's changing
and their minds
and their minds, and they're trying to decide which way I'm going to go. And, you know, and for better or worse, I mean, they could, you know, go toward, if they don't have somebody in their life that's guiding them positively, they're going to tend to go, they're going to follow the crowd,
right?
And most times that's not always in the right direction. Mm-hmm. So I think, I mean, we have a huge opportunity if we can close that gap and strengthen that support, mm-hmm, for that age, that 6th, 7th, and 8th grade age, I think would be tremendous. So we're missing a component, you know, there, but we're working on it.
So those of you who are listening and are hearing LaShawn and I talk about the interest that we hear districts and different schools say that they want on bringing in the Communities and Schools program, may be wondering, well, if there's interest, then why don't you go into that school? And LaShawn and I both know, since we are both area directors, that the number one thing that prevents us from going into schools is funding. And no, I'm not going to go into an ask at this point. However, if you do want to make a donation, you can always go to our website, cismidamerica.org/donate, and you may donate. And we are very grateful for that. It does go 100% to help out our kids in one way, shape, or another, whether it's providing them with the tangible items that they need or providing a site coordinator or the support to ensure that site coordinator has everything that they need. But one of the things that LaShawn does that's super cool down in Southeast Kansas, and he does a golf tournament, which I say, and it sounds so minute, but this is a massive event and it brings in a significant amount of support that goes to the programs that are in Southeast Kansas. And so on May 4th of 2019, which is coming up very soon, he is going to have the 5th annual golf tournament. And what I would love to hear from you, LaShawn, is more information about the golf tournament, why you decided to start it in the first place, how it's grown, and what your plans for the future of it are.
Well, initially, when I took the position as affiliate director, I didn't realize that I would be doing, you know, as much fundraising. And because I used to be in, and I guess I didn't go into my full background, because I do have a recreation degree, and I worked 5 years as a recreational programmer and then director. So I have I have a skill to create and organize and manage events. So 2014, I think. So the first year, I had the bright idea of hosting two golf tournaments on back to back weekends in two different locations. I had one in here in Parsons, and then one in Pittsburgh. So the one in Parsons, I probably raised $500. The one in Pittsburgh, I probably lost $500.
Oh, wow.
So it was pretty much a wash. I mean, it was an initial attempt to, you know, get some community support with the sponsorships and stuff like that. But so I changed my strategy a little bit and recruited. Well, I didn't recruit, actually. I had an encounter. I had a chance meeting with Rick Webb, who's the owner operator of Watco Company, which is a short line railroad in Pittsburgh. And a friend of mine introduced us at a basketball game in Parsons, which we were doing like a chili feed or something for Communities and Schools. I can't remember what exactly, but he hit me in the hallway. And When I say I was glad that I had my elevator speech kind of ready, because mm-hmm. as people walked by us, he crossed his arms and said, tell me about Communities and Schools. So I hit him with my elevator speech, and he was interested. So we had I set up a meeting with him in his office. We had a longer conversation. They are very big supporters and for the community of Pittsburgh and Southeast Kansas. So after our conversation, he basically gave me two people in his organization, Brad Snow and Cassie Bicknell, to aid me in our fundraising efforts and our efforts of supporting our students and families. So those two have been instrumental, and I can't thank them enough for the support. So when he tasked me with working with them, I kind of gave them my spiel, and they've heard me speak in other engagements. So they basically have taken my story and utilized their relationships with others in the community to help us grow our support in Southeast Kansas. So it's been tremendous. They have, like I said, they've been huge advocates They're on what we call our local advisory committee for Pittsburgh. And the way our model was initially put together, we were supposed to have like one LAC per area. But like, so for Southeast Kansas, I would have to have a committee. But that didn't work because I couldn't get people from, say, Parsons, Pittsburgh, Coffeyville, and Chanute to meet in one location. It just, you know, people have jobs and other things that they're responsible for. So I decided to make it a community-based LAC. So I have an LAC in all four communities right now. So and I want to make sure I thank them for their involvement with communities and schools. And so I can't be in all locations at all times. I can't be at all the Rotary meetings. I can't go to all the coffees. I can't go to, you know, I can't go to all the school board meetings. I go to as many as I possibly can, but understand I have to do what I do in four communities. So I utilize my local advisory committee to identify opportunities for partnerships, for support. And so they relay that information back to me. I make the contact. I do the presentation, and hence a relationship is built. So, so over the years, so I went from the first year of the golf tournament to get back to that, the first year of the golf tournament being a wash, to the second year, we raised about I think $10,000.
It's a huge difference.
Huge
from
difference.
From the first to second right. year. Wow.
Right. And then from 10,000 to 25,000 the last 2 years. Wow. And we've surpassed that amount. After bills get paid, I think we'll be close to $30,000 this year. And yeah. That just goes to the testament that, like I said, the message of what we do, how we do what we do, the impacts it's making with the students and families, trying to tie what we do to the community, partnerships with businesses, trying to, you know, offer, you know, some of, like I say, for example, our seniors that are not college bound and they're wanting to go to work or not sure what they want to do. We are in an early stage of really focusing on, you know, the career readiness portion of it for them and trying to build partnerships with companies that know what we do. And so we try to help instill some of the traits that they'll need to go to work successfully. We give the companies opportunities to tell the students, if they were to come there, what their expectations are of their workers. And then, you know, kids get to learn what their earning potential could be. Mm-hmm. So instead of graduating and going off to work at a fast food restaurant or bounce around different fast food restaurants, they can make an educated decision as to I can make a very livable wage comparative to whatever their household situation may be. Maybe they haven't seen the example of a parent going to work every single day and earning a wage, working at a different company in their community. So we want to try to give those kids an opportunity that once they graduate, they really have a chance to change their circumstance. And so through the golf tournament, this gives me my platform to, you know, kind of tie it all together a little bit. It's a celebration of the support from all the communities. It's one way to, you know, this year we have an ambassador. Last year was Jen Gomez. She was a volleyball coach at Pittsburgh State University. This year's ambassador is the head men's basketball coach, Kim Anderson. And so he'll say a few nice words and he'll be supporting us throughout the year. So we just look for, like I said, partnerships and advocacy from community members to support and spread the word about what we do. Mm-hmm. So sorry, I probably went on a little bit too long there.
That's okay. LaShawn and I were talking before we actually started officially recording this episode that he and I are both, we're both talkers. So I was kind of trying to put a bet on how long I thought that this episode would take. I would not be surprised if it was one of our longer episodes. But I am keeping an eye on, it's okay. I'm keeping an eye on the time. I'm trying to keep it within our normal parameters. But I do have one question I'm going to ask you before we take our first break. But before I ask you that question, I wanted to see if there was anything else you want to say about the golf tournament in regards to like how people can get more information about it or if they're interested in the future.
Well, right now if you've participated in golf tournament before, I will be contacting you via email or by mail. If you want to sign up for the golf tournament, you can visit our website at www.cismidamerica.org. This year, we do have a link where you can actually register your team online and pay for it online. So we will have that information already ready to go when you get there on May 4th. There's tons of prizes and opportunities to earn some prizes, but this year we will not be giving away cash. We're going to be giving away prizes. Most of the teams are sponsored teams. So it's really a celebration. It's not if you're coming to play to make money, you're there for the wrong reason.
That's right.
Okay.
Awesome. And so there's one more thing I want to say actually about the golf tournament before we move on. So, however, if people get inspired to connect with this particular fundraiser, because it is incredible, are you planning on growing it next year?
Well,
maybe
more
people involved?
It continues to grow. So we had 19 teams last year. One of the new features that we added this year was a site sponsorship to the golf tournament. And we have been, and honestly, it's a $5,000 sponsor. It's a site sponsorship. And basically if a company agrees to be a sponsor, they will have signage. I will organize a tour, for that company, whoever the liaison is between communities, schools, and the company. They will receive quarterly reports on the work being done there. It's a way to show support. So we've been blessed to have five site sponsors this year. Bicknell Legacy Foundation, Watco Company, the Miller Family Foundation, Strategic Partners, and Direct On-Site Care, Dr. Brent Cousins. I think I said his name right. So we have half of our 10 sites with a site sponsor. So what I will be doing, although this is done during the golf tournament, I'll also be looking for site sponsors for those other five schools throughout the year moving forward. So
awesome.
It's continued to grow. Like I said, it's tremendous support. We're looking for more businesses to help us make this a sustainable program and not just a program here today, gone tomorrow. So I really try to sell the district support, our major sponsor support, and then community support to tie it all in. So everybody has a vested interest in the betterment of the students we serve.
Yeah. Awesome. And so if anybody is interested in becoming a site sponsor, and by site, like LaShawn said, we mean school. And so if anyone's interested in that, they can reach out to LaShawn Taylor. You can find his contact information on our website, cismidamerica.org, and then just go to staff and you can find LaShawn Taylor's cell phone, his work phone, his email address. And I know that he's always willing to take phone calls and text messages and emails from whomever is interested in supporting our kids. And I do encourage people to kind of stay in touch with what Communities and Schools is doing, because we have another fundraiser that we do that's in the central Kansas area in the winter. So the first weekend in December, and we'll be looking for people to get involved with that one as well. So one more question before we move on to our first break, because the first part, we probably should wrap it up and get on to the letter. But we talked about your past. We talked about how you were a site coordinator, and we've talked about the really invested impact that you have had as an area director / affiliate director with Communities and Schools. So with all that time that you've worked with this agency, can you tell me what is one of your favorite memories?
Working for the agency? Mm-hmm. I mean, probably the first group of seniors that I worked with, just to see them walk across the stage, knowing, you know, the work we're doing, that's the ultimate goal. And by the same token, seeing some kids get their diploma and not being able to celebrate that opportunity. Mm-hmm. That's something. And so as I've been an advocate for the students that we work with, that will continue to be one of the things that's been kind of the most impactful initially as I started doing this work. Sometimes schools, they aren't empathetic to some of the situations that kids are facing. They've probably never been hungry. They've probably never been homeless. They've probably never, missed a doctor's appointment, you know, for transportation reasons. They've probably lived in the same home their entire lives, and their parents are probably still living there. I was one of those kids that moved around. I lived in, you know, at least 7 different houses growing up, 4 elementaries, 2 middle schools, 1 high school. No one opening a refrigerator with no food. I know what that's like. So I'm very empathetic to those situations. Not to blame anyone. I mean, it is what it is. Through our work, I think we can help students overcome some of those barriers. So that's why I'm so passionate about this job.
Awesome. So with that, we are going to go ahead and take a quick break, and then we will be back with a second serving of Letters from the Lunchroom. So stay tuned. Okay, welcome back. As part of our show, we ask each guest to write a letter to the students that Communities and Schools serves. The only guideline they're given is that it must come from the heart. So without further ado, here is LaShawn Taylor reading his letter to CIS students everywhere.
Dear students, I'd like to offer some advice. While in school, be polite and kind to others. Stay involved in extracurricular activities and be the best student and person you can be. Develop good habits like being on time to school and to class. Good habits you develop today will contribute to your success tomorrow. If you need help in school or outside of school, ask for it. There are caring adults all over the school who could help you or point you in the right direction. Set goals for yourself and don't allow negative barriers in your life to prevent you from achieving those goals. Graduate from high school with a plan for your future. Don't wait until graduation day to try to figure it out. Whether it's college, military, trade school, or work, explore all your options. Research the cost of colleges you are interested in attending, where you feel you will be successful. Research the types of jobs you are interested in and their earning potential. Have more than one conversation about those results with someone you trust. Don't be afraid to fail. Failures can be the best life lessons if you learn from them. All the things I have stated are things that Communities and Schools of Mid-America's site coordinators are tasked to help you with. We believe in you, and we want to help you plan for and reach your fullest potential. Now ask yourself these questions. Who am I? Who do I want to be? What do I want to be? And how am I going to get there? These are questions we can't answer for you, but we can help you figure it out. You and your future is our purpose. Now let's get to work. Thanks.
Oh my goodness. No, thank you, LaShawn. Oh my goodness. Okay. So I'm really curious because you have had experiences with kids from multiple different points of view, you know, being a site coordinator, being an area director. So whenever you sat down to write the letter, did you know sort of what you wanted to do at the get-go, or did you kind of play with a couple different options?
No, I struggled. We initially had this meeting scheduled, and I'll be honest. I forgot about the letter that I had to write the letter. It's the letter from the lunchroom. When you told me I had to do a letter, I got to thinking, you know, what message do I want to do? Do I want to talk about my life? Do I want to talk about from a community perspective? And you know, people that are listening to this podcast are probably going to be advocates and supporters, hopefully, of communities and schools. So this is the message, and this is what they need to understand. This is what we intend to help the students with. As simplistic as it may seem, it can be impactful when, like we say, when you put a caring adult in a child's life, you can really change their life. I want to thank my godfather, Mr. Douglas Taborn, who was that person for me.
I wondered about that. I was thinking, gosh, we could almost do like a part two of LaShawn Taylor to hear about your life growing up. But if you don't mind, do you mind sharing a little bit about the parts of your life that you experienced growing up that kind of shaped that advice that you gave to the students in your letter?
Well, just not having that conversation as a youth. I was one of those kids that the school was my refuge. I felt more comfortable and safe at school than I did at home sometimes, you know, a lot of the times. Like I said, the high mobility, moving from house to house, from, you know, different sides of towns, and, you know, having the stress and anxiety of changing elementary schools and having to, meet new people mid semester. That occurred several times. Just being resilient, I guess I was a little bit more resilient than I even, recall, but, you know, just having to, just understanding that, you know, I've gone through it and I've come out okay, but there's a lot of kids that don't. And so that's why I think it's important for us to, you know, be diligent in guiding the students that we have interactions with. Sports was another thing, thing that allowed me to change my life and my circumstances. But imagine a kid, as a freshman, for example. Couldn't afford football shoes. Our colors were black and orange. A friend of mine went to the Crosstown High School, and his brother gave me some shoes to play in. They were baseball shoes, and I didn't know the difference. I just knew they were, but they said, you can't wear those. They have, you know, iron spikes in them. So just not being able to, you know, afford the things that we needed. Not having that moral support. I played four sports for 3 years. I excelled. in all of them for the most part. I'm sorry, three sports through high school, three sports for all 4 years, and nobody ever came to see me play. And so, you know, having a friend that, you know, it's, I don't know if you've seen like a movie where, like, after the game, everybody's all cheering and hugging and going to see their families, and I kind of walk away. That's how it's been my life. I mean, even when I came to Pittsburgh State and played football, it was the same. I mean, I, you know, other than my family that I had at my, you know, my senior year, I mean, I would, you know, after games were over, I would just, you know, go off and do my thing. So, but it's made me stronger. It's made me tougher. But if I had it all to do again, and I had, you know, more support, from within the school, just dealing with some of the things that I was dealing with, who knows? I mean, like I said, I don't think I turned out, you know, too bad, you know, 2.0 student out of high school, and I have 3 degrees. Mm-hmm. That's a blessing. But after so many hills, valleys, dips and curves, and so many failures, I ain't gonna say I made it yet, but I'm working on it.
And you kind of started off that conversation by mentioning your godfather.
Oh yeah.
So what role did he play?
So he was our coach. All of my friends, he was our eighth grade coach. So I did play four sports in eighth grade. So Mr. Taborn was our football coach, our basketball coach, our wrestling coach, and our track coach. We actually flipped him our eighth grade year from, he used to be the girls coach. So we flipped him. We told him we weren't running unless he coached us. And so he came over to the boys' side. He coached us, and I have great memories from the eighth grade. And he was one of those people in my life at that time that I just gravitated to. I mean, he's slow, he's cool, you know, he was that father figure I did not have. I did not have a father figure, not a positive one in my life growing up. So, you know, I gravitated towards him. Eighth grade, after we graduated from middle school, I went back up to the school while, you know, to help him put up the wrestling mats. And from there, you know, he kind of like took me under his wing. So, you know, the support that I had, you know, moving forward, you know, I kind of kept him in my life. And he kind of, you know, even when I made bonehead decisions, he would scold me. Perfect example, one time in eighth grade, he still to this day calls me stubborn because a teacher and I were having a tiff. And I can't remember what it was about. But I wasn't going to be eligible to play because I can't remember what it was. I wouldn't do something. And he got on to me. And that's the first time somebody made me cry because I disappointed him. And I didn't like that feeling, you know. So that, like I said, so that kind of, so as I've made decisions, I haven't made all good decisions. That moment, I think, influenced a lot of my decisions to try to do better, to try to change my circumstances because I cared about what he would think about it. So I love that man. I love his wife. They have been there for me when I went off to college. They sent me a care package. I got put out of my house after graduation, basically, and went off to school, and I was just happy to get away. Yeah. But they stuck with me, and like I said, they're still with me and still supporting me to this day.
Wow, I love that. The power of one, the power of what one caring relationship can do to change a life.
Absolutely.
All right, LaShawn, we're going to take one more quick break and then we will come back for some extra credit questions.
Okay, thanks.
Some of you may be wondering how you can get involved with Communities and Schools of Mid-America. Whether it is giving your time, your talents, or your treasure, we are so grateful for your support of the work that we are doing in local schools. Join our community today. Go to cismidamerica.org and click on Ways to Give for more information. All right, LaShawn, so we like to wrap up each episode with the opportunity for our guests to earn some extra credit. Are you ready to answer a few more questions before we let you go?
Sure. I can go all day.
So, first question, and this one could be a potential lengthy answer, would be, how has your life changed since you joined the CIS team?
It's been good. I'm just kidding. That was a joke. It's been really good for me. I mean, like I said, the my evolution with the organization has been pretty steady to the opportunities that have presented themselves and ways I've been able to develop my skills of communicating our message to, you know, the different areas that we serve. So it's been great. Like I said, the organization is I think well supported from the top down. I've been very diligent in trying to create a team system, not only in Southeast Kansas, but just whenever, you know, our all agency gets together. When communities and schools says that it's relationships that change lives and not mm-hmm. programs, mm-hmm. I take that to heart, and it has helped me be successful in what I've been able to do here in Southeast Kansas. So, it's been a blessing. It truly has. I mean, I couldn't have had a better opportunity for my life, for my family, for the impacts I'm able to help in the communities right now. So yeah, it's been great for me.
Awesome. Your second question is, if you had a superpower, what would it be and why?
It wouldn't be to fly, because I'm scared of heights.
Okay.
It wouldn't be to swim underwater without being able to breathe, because I can't swim. A superpower. That's a good question. Mm-hmm.
This is the one I thought you'd have the easiest time with. I asked this to everybody.
Not really. I don't know. I have no idea. Superpower. that one stumped me. I don't know. I don't need to be extra strong. I don't need X-ray vision. I don't need to be fast. I guess speed. If I had a superpower, I wish I had speed as a power. That way I can get to the four communities that I serve quicker and meet with more people throughout the day.
There you go.
Yeah, see, being efficient, right? So, yeah.
Awesome. Okay. Final extra credit question is, why do you feel it is important to get involved with this organization?
I mean, if I haven't stated it already, it's pretty obvious that I believe in what we do. As I tell people and share our work, our methods of work and the successes of our work, it's a no-brainer. I mean, if you value the lives of the youth in your community, I would suggest you find a way to get involved and support communities and schools or any entity that's helping mold lives. And we want to mold lives positively with direction and with the hopes of improving the communities that we serve. And ultimately, I think that's where our impacts will come. It'll take time. Like I said, with anything, it's going to take time to see the results. But if we can engage parents at an early age and try to help them improve their circumstances through our work of, if they're undereducated, getting a better education, if they're underemployed, getting better employment or that pays a better wage so they can better provide for their families at the elementary level. And then as we support their child, help the child realize what their purpose is, moving forward. So we don't want to push a square kid into a circle kid. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. So, everybody has their own rhythm about things. And I think that's why you should get involved, because we can really help guide, lives towards a positive future.
Very nice. All right, LaShawn. So with that, we're going to wrap up this episode. I want to give you a quick opportunity to share little shout outs that you've got.
Okay. Yeah. Sorry. And I meant to do this earlier, but I get long winded sometimes. So okay. I do want to thank, I talked about my four local advisory committee people. So I want to thank them by name. In Fort Scott, this is our new LAC, mm-hmm. Kurt Sharp, Lindsay Madison, and Diana Mitchell. In Chanute, the lovely ladies, Kathy Jones, Claudia Christensen, and Jane Brophy. And a new Matt Godinez just joined that local advisory committee recently. In Parsons, Nikki Rosenstiel, I think that's how you say her name, Jenny Womack, Ella Lubers, and Cheryl Bowen. I'm sorry. And in Pittsburgh, Brad Snow, of course, Cassie Bicknell, Kim Vogel, Pam Henderson, Dawn McNay, and new Jenny Hall. So these are your local advisory committee people. These are our advocates in your community. So if you have any questions about communities and schools, please reach out to them or ways to get involved. Also, I have so many. I'm gonna shout out a few sponsors. I can't name them all. For the golf tournament, we have over 40 sponsors this year. And like I said, we've collected a little bit over $30,000 to support the work that we do in Southeast Kansas. So I want to give a shout out to Ash Grove Cement, Bicknell Legacy Foundation, CST Storage, Strategic Partners, Labette Health, LabCon Co. in Fort Scott. They're our newest supporter. Edward Jones, Chad Boaz, who else? All right, Community National Bank and Trust, that, just to name a few. So be on the lookout. I will be in each community. I'm going to do a thank you ad just to show my support and say thank you to everybody that has supported us in the past. And hopefully we'll have some more supporters in the future. So if you want to, it's still not too late. I don't know when this podcast is going out, but if you want an opportunity to support, at the golf tournament or beyond, reach out to us at cismidamerica.org. Mm-hmm.
And we're also going to be posting some shout outs to those sponsors of the golf tournament on our Facebook page, as well as specifically within the event of the on Facebook. So if you go to our Facebook page at CIS Mid-America, you can see the event that's created for it. And we'll be doing some shout outs to the sponsors within there, because there are quite a few.
Yes,
and
yes.
That's a great place to kind of put them all. And it's really important that we do recognize not only the individuals, but the nonprofits, the fellow agencies, and the for-profit organizations and businesses that reach out and support us. So I'm glad that you took a moment to give them some shout outs, because they deserve them.
We can't do it. Hence the name Communities in School. Right. We try to connect, we try to bring everybody together for a common goal.
Mm-hmm. So. Can't do it without you guys.
That's right.
All right. So again, thank you so much, LaShawn, for taking some time to chat with me today. And that is it for today's episode. For more information on Communities and Schools of Mid-America, please check out our website at cismidamerica.org. Make sure to subscribe to this podcast and follow us on social media at CIS Mid-America. I hope you've all enjoyed this episode of Letters from the Lunchroom. I'm your host, Victoria Partridge, and until next time, class is dismissed.